Thank the Lord. I was wondering if there was a sun still up there. But it's come out, and it was beautiful today, and I'm thankful for it. I don't know how many more of these good days we'll have, but whatever we'll have, we'll be thankful. Amen? And whatever we don't have, we'll still be thankful. Amen? That's key. Good to have you all tonight. Thank the Lord for you. I want you to take the book of James, if you will, please. Now, we're finally going to get back to it tonight. We got away from it because we wanted to give some other thoughts on certain verses there. But in James chapter 1, beginning tonight in verse 19, actually down to the end of that chapter, he is going to hear truths we must follow. First, be guarding your words. Be guarding your words. Be grounded in his word and be godly in your ways. That's the outline of those verses. Be guarding your words, be grounded in his word, and be godly in your ways as God leads you in your ways. So we come over here to James 1, beginning here at verse 19, down to the end of that chapter. We find, first of all, guarding your words. Look at verse 19. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth that we should be verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There are three thoughts in that verse dealing with guarding your words. In other words, we're to listen in silence. Number two, we're to listen before we sin. And number two, we are to listen before we speak. I thought if we would just learn to listen before we speak, we would not say things later on we regret. There are things that I have said to others that if I could ever go back and put all those words back in my mouth, I'd be glad to do it. But it's over with. May I learn from it. Look there in verse 19, these were three thoughts. Let's read them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. In other words, be swift to hear. Literally means learn in silence. Listen to what people say. I want you to, we'll get back to that, but turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We'll be there for a little bit tonight, but if you go to the book of Proverbs and go to chapter 17 and look with me there at chapter 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. That's a great verse. In other words, shut up. There are times when we need to learn to just shut up and listen. And of course, God has something to say often through other people. It is a rude thing not to listen when others are speaking. Now, I have a problem with that myself because other people may be speaking, but when you have hearing problems and hearing aids that don't always function rightly, my wife say, honey, just listen. You're interrupting that person. And I, with all the meekness that I can muster up, say, thank you, honey, and try to listen. Anybody else here beside have that problem besides this old man up here? Yeah, have that problem. Thank you, Brother Larry. I appreciate it. Glad to know that. So he says, be swift to hear. In other words, listen in silence. Don't try to interrupt when someone is trying to instruct you. Don't interrupt. Let them say it. Because the Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, he's counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips, in other words, he just shuts up, is esteemed a man of understanding. Second thing he says there about guarding your words, not listen in silence, but listen before you speak. He said, slow to speak. The words, he thinks it through before he makes the comment. Look at chapter 18 there and look there at verse 7 and as well as verse 3. This whole book of Proverbs is it's just full of instructions on, it's time we just shut up and let, just don't say things. Verse 7, he says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Is that not true? I've been listening down through this last election and our new president, and I pray for him. I really do. I want him, for number one, I want him to get saved. But he makes some of the stupidest statements. I'm sorry. He just really says some things that are way off the wall. And I pray that God would get a hold of him and come to conclusions about these kind of things. But verse 7 again, a fool's mouth is his destruction. I believe many politicians, that's their case. And his mouth and his lips are the snare of his soul. Wow. Look there at verse 13. He that answer a matter before he hear this folly and shame unto him. In other words, he doesn't hear the whole thing that is said to him. So in other words, you're not only to listen in silence, but you're to listen before you speak. Let it all out. And then thirdly, you're to listen before you sin. Look at Proverbs 10. It'd be wonderful if you took a study and just go through the book of Proverbs as he deals with the tongue. You'll see so much of that is there to warn us what could take place when we let our mouth get in the way of what is purpose, why we're here. Look at chapter 10 and look there at verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth no sin, but he that refraineth his lip is wise. Listen before you sin. In other words, don't just keep talking, because as long as you keep talking, guess what's going to happen? You're going to say some things you should never have said about a subject. So you got three warnings here about guarding your word. Listen in silence. Be swift to hear. Listen before you speak. Slow to speak. And listen before you sin. Slow to wrath. Listen before you let it all out. I think we all could go back and say many of the words that we said have been worthless words we should never have said. And I've heard many worthless words from others. So in other words, be guarding your words. Now he's going to deal with be grounded in his word. Look there, if you will, there, beginning there in verse 21. The lips of the righteous, wrong chapter. Boy, you know, you have to deal with old people. They're just that way. All right, look there at verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That word superfluity is a big word we do not use really much today. It means overabundant wickedness, the idea of the word of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now let me say, you cannot get saved without the word of God. It is there for you, and it's from that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And keep that in mind. He said, but be ye, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I thought about that. You all look, sometime today, you look in a mirror, hoping to see your face, right? You know, you have never really seen your face. You thought about that? You've seen a mirror that you've seen what that mirror told you, but you haven't really. You have to take your head off, turn around, look at you. Then it wouldn't be there, right? Wouldn't be there. But there are two mirrors. There's the mirror on the wall, and that mirror tells us how old we're getting. I looked there this morning as I got up and as I did the things that I did in the mirror, and I counted all four or five of my hairs, shaved my whiskers, brushed my teeth, did what I could to have that mirror on the wall make me halfway decent to look at. And that mirror is okay, but the most important mirror that you could look at is not the mirror on the wall, but it is the mirror of His Word, where it will show things that that mirror on the wall will not show you. It's an important mirror that you and I must look at, where He says, He beholdeth Himself, and He goeth away, and straightway forgeth what manner of man he was. You look at this, and I'll be honest with you, the older I get, the less time I spend in the front of the mirror. It just doesn't encourage me at all. The older I get, the more the mirror of His Word encourages me and helps me to get through life's experiences. So I want to just spend some time tonight dealing with five levels of knowing the Word of God. Five levels. I often think you ought to ask yourself, maybe it's a little test, what level are you on? Now, each of the level, you build on another level. Doesn't mean that if you're on level three, you still don't do level one and two. That's not the way it works. But it does mean that you moved on and deepen your understanding of God's Word. What are the levels? First is the very basic one. It's called the hearing level. It's simply listening to the Word of God. You're doing that tonight. You do that when you turn on someone on the radio or television, when you come to church. It's the hearing level. It's listening to God's Word. You go to the book of Ecclesiastes real quick and turn there to the fifth chapter. He will remind you something about that level that you must not forget. He says, verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, written by a man who did not follow everything that he wrote. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. In other words, don't come to church and listen to the Word of God and say, well, that didn't apply to me. It does apply to, may apply to my wife or my husband or my children or the deacon or the Sunday, oh, somebody else, but not me. I want to tell you today, that's the first level, but it is a very immature baby level, just coming to know the Word by hearing it as you hear someone else speak. By the way, that's why so many people are shallow. The only knowledge they have of the Word of God is what they hear. That is a baby level. It's needed. I shall never forget when I first heard the preaching of the Word of God in a revival meeting, and God used that. But I hope since then I've moved on to the other levels. Yet I enjoy level one. See what I'm saying? You don't ignore level one when you go to level two. You don't ignore level one and two when you go to level three. They're all in vital, but you keep going up. And the second one is the reading level. Level one is the hearing level. It's listening to God's Word. Level two is the reading. It's learning about God's Word. Learning about it. You read it. Now, let me go to the book of Revelation in chapter 1, please. I got a kick out of new Christians at times. I had more than one come to me and say, let's see, he's been a Christian a few weeks, few months, whatever, and they'll say, why don't we study the book of Revelation? I said, why don't we study the Gospel of John? Same writer, but a different emphasis. In other words, you're not ready for that level. But look over here in Revelation chapter 1 and look at verse 3, if you will, please, because this level 2 is the reading level. He'll say three things in verse 3. Let's just read it and then go back. Blessed is he that readeth. The word blessed, by the way, is a word that means happy. Happy. He says, happy is he that readeth. That is, he gives attention. Attention to the word. And then, and they that heareth the word, that is retention. Have you ever read your Bible and your mind was wandering somewhere else? And if someone asked you what you read, and it depended whether or not you were going to live the rest of that rest of life, you'd be dead. But the idea here on level 2 is the attention that's very vital. You know, one of the tragedies that I find, there are many Christians who have never read this book through. It's hard for me to imagine. And if you happen to be one of them tonight, I say it biblically, shame on you. All scripture is given by inspiration. It's all profitable. Read it all. And it's amazing what we will watch on TV and we'll read other books, but we spend no time to read the most important book of all. We give attention, retention, and then notice the third here, and keepeth. That's intention. Intention. What do you intend? That level 2 means as you read it, you're willing to let God make some changes in your life. What is your intention? And by the way, that applies to the level 1 too. It's amazing today we have fewer people making decisions in preaching than we ever have. Just fewer. We should have more in these days in which we live. Because the truth of it is, they think everybody else needs to make a decision but them. So we have level 1, the hearing level, listening to God's word. Level 2, learning about God's word by reading it. I make a practice of reading my Bible through a couple times a year. That doesn't make me more spiritual. It just makes me to realize I need to learn it more. It's a level that I enjoy so much. Then there is level 3. Now, as you go into level 3, you don't ignore level 1 and 2. But you develop level 1 and 2 as you go up the ladder. It's the study level. It's not only listening to God's word, learning about God's word, but it's laboring over God's word. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy in chapter 2 in your Bible. Because here is a tremendous verse, verse 15 of chapter 2 here. The word study in verse, let's just read the whole verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's interesting, this verse here begins with perspiration, ends with inspiration. For the word study has the idea to labor over God's word to where you put some time in it, you put some energy in it, you put some thought in it, and you dissect it so that it can dissect you and dissect me. As you look at that verse on that third level, I notice 4 things. First, what, why, who, and how. Those are the 4 things. First, what? Study. Study. That is a key word here, study. It means literally to tear apart the scriptures. It literally means to go at it with great force. Now you say that's a preacher's job. It's everybody's job. It's everybody's job on level 3. Now it doesn't mean you neglect level 1 or you neglect level 2, but you're moving up the ladder. I hope it's not a ladder that you climb and fall off and do what I did and break my back. But anyway, it's not that kind of level. Not that kind of thought. What is study? I was reading a book I have. I love the. I date my books when I read them. I always date them. I picked up the other day a book in my library that I hadn't read for 21 years. Began reading it again. Great book. Made in His Image by Jim Berg. How many have ever read that book? If you haven't, you need to read it. A great book. Really has so much depth to it. In my library, I didn't purposely neglect it, but God just laid it on my heart, pick that book up, read it. And I've been reading it. I like to read about 30 pages a day, so I've been at that. And in my life, I don't always do it, but it's my goal. If you don't have goals, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So you aim at something. And that's my goal every day, to do that. And in that, I just been going over that book and thinking of the blessings. That's what, why? So that's the next point. The who, the what, why, who, and how. What you study. Why? To show thyself approved. Now, it's not to impress, but to express who God is. You don't learn the Bible so you can impress people. I'm often bothered by preachers who think that's what they need to do. I'm often bothered by preachers who want to pray a long, flowery prayer using words some people may not understand. That's called the doctrine of baloney. You study because you want to be approved before Him. That's the only one you're trying to impress as you express what God is doing through your life. And then, who? A workman. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The word ashamed comes to worse means a disappointment. I know so many people who they've disappointed me. That doesn't matter. If they disappoint God, that matters. Simply because they've done nothing with the Word of God. We used to laugh years ago, but it's not funny, that a preacher would be so busy or doing other things during the week that come Saturday night, he got his sermon from the sword of the Lord. That also is terrible. Because the purpose of studying, as you study and teach the book of Job, is that God will speak to your heart, and what He impresses on you, you want to share to other people so it will help them. So it is to we a workman that need not be ashamed, disappointed. How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly divided. You know, folks, so many people have no idea the difference between Israel and the church. They fall in the traps of Calvinism or other traps because they listened to what somebody else said, but they never got into the book to find out themselves. I had a wonderful young couple in my church years ago, been about 6 or 7 now, years ago. I loved them to death. I thought, you know, they were going to be missionaries going to Russia. And somebody gave them a book on Calvinism. And that ended their study at Ambassador Baptist College. That ended the going to the mission field because they looked to a book instead of the book. And they couldn't. And I met with him. He said, well, I have to think about what you're saying. I said, look what it says. Let's get what the book says. It's amazing when it says, for God so loved the world that they try to make the world only those elected, and the rest are going to hell. There's just something wrong with that kind of study. How rightly dividing the word of God. So that's level 3. Level 1, hearing level, listening to God's word. When I enjoy, I just forgot his name. I'll maybe be in at 9:30. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Just lost his name. I love to listen to him every day. Huh? Yeah. Thank you. Adrian Rogers. I like listening to him. He's brave. He just sets my soul on fire. And he's home with the Lord now. I love hearing. Reading, I love reading. I love this book, and I love books about this book. Made into His Image by Jim Berg, for example, there. And then study. Man, I love to get in my library, get upstairs and there and just shut the door away from everybody. I love Marilyn, but away from her, away from the cat, away from the sound of the chickens. I just love that. I hope you love sometime to just get along with God at level. The fourth level, so level one, listening to God's word, that's hearing. Learning about God's word, that's reading. Studying, that's laboring over God's word. And then fourth is memorizing level, that's looking to the word of God for the answers. Now, it's very vital that you learn by memorizing scripture. I enjoy memorizing chapters as well as verses. Now, I have to review them regularly. I have them on cards and I review. Why memorize scripture? Because you need to put God's word off of the pages of scriptures and into your thought life. Now turn with me to Psalm 119 for a moment. Three verses, verse 9, 10, and 11, that are vital to what I'm thinking of here. Why do I need to memorize it? You know what? I'll remember forget one of my professors in college as we were preparing for exams. I always thought they were like the tribulation period as we prepared for them. And then he would always say this. He'd say, now listen, how many are still praying about taking the exam? We'd all act spiritual and raise our hands. And he'd say, that's not sufficient. You study. Because you can't put on this paper or the exam which you have not put in your mind first. I learned the value of that. Because he says three things about taking him off of scripture and putting him into my mind. 9, 10, and 11 of Psalm 119. 9, by putting it into my mind, memorizing it, it will remove the stain of sin. Look at it. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? The word cleanse here has the idea of getting out the stains of sin that have been set in. Did you ever have a stain set in? I've had. I think I told the story about having fountain pens, forgetting to put the cap on, and just put that there. And I thought I could get that out on my own. I'm sorry, Marilyn, you don't need to worry about it. By the time I got that water run, that little speck of thing was all over the shirt. If you don't remove it your way, you try it your way, it'll get bigger. This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. If you have a habit that's broken, listen, I don't sleep all every night real well. The older I get, the less. But I just love to quote my scriptures. If I don't, bad things come into my mind. Things I shouldn't be thinking about. Sometimes they bring depression or bring anger, unrest. But this book brings rest. And when I think about something I've done wrong, and by the way, the more you memorize, the more the Holy Spirit brings things that you need to deal with to remove them. So you'll be cleaned up. Be clean. Secondly, to resist the temptation. Look at verse 10. Wherewithal, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So when temptation comes, I simply quote scripture. I want to tell you something. The devil takes off. The flesh takes off. It just can't handle the word of God. And then he says, not only to remove the stain, the sin that is there, to resist the temptation, but to reprove the act of sin. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a rebuke to sin. That's a rebuke to your sin nature. That's a rebuke to it all. But you know, it's not my rebuke, it's his rebuke. Therefore, it works well. Now, the fifth one is the meditating level. Now, keep in mind, you don't ignore the first four levels. You're just moving up. You still hear the word of God, amen? You still read your Bible. You still study. You ought to still memorize. But now, through all that, your meditations become, that's living out the word of God. Living it out, what lives in. How wonderful that is. Not just in your mouth, but in your mind. One of my favorite verses, I want to turn to a particular verse in Joshua chapter 1. It's a verse that you should memorize, should become part of your memory work. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall what? Not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein what? Day and night. You can't meditate if you don't get it off of the book, put it in your mind. But thou may observe to do all that is written therein, then shall make thy way prosperous, you successful. Joshua 1. You cannot find Joshua by turning to Judges. It won't work. To Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. You should be able to quote it because you've meditated on it. Therein day and night, that thou mightest deserve to do all that is written therein, and then shall make the way prosperous. It's amazing. You turn your television on and you hear these so-called preachers that if you just send $100, God will double it. You can become prosperous. That's blasphemy. That's sin. Prosperity here has the idea of the riches of your relationship with God and success. Boy, good success. Success is not determined by how much you have, but how much he has of you. Keep that in mind. A New Testament passage that I want you to turn to is the book of Luke. And I want you to turn there to chapter 24, the very last chapter of the book of Luke. This is a good Easter message, but it's when the Lord was resurrected. And we find him over here, two men on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord appeared to him. Remember that story? Isn't that a great story? And then we find down here, as he walked with them and he opened the scriptures to them, you find a statement in verse 32 that draws my attention back to verse 27. But let's read verse 32. And they said one to another, that's after the Lord vanished out of their sight, did not our heart burn within us? Get these words while he talked with us. When you meditate, that is him talking to you, and your heart burns within. I say it reverently, but it's called holy heartburn. You just have a warmth in your heart. Now, why did they say, while he talked with us along the way, Because if you begin in verse 27, and beginning at Moses, what books did Moses write? What's the first one? Genesis. Moses and all the prophets expounded them all the scriptures, the things, what? Concerning himself. You know why they had holy heartburn? Because Jesus was talking to them about what the Bible had to say about him. And I will tell you today, that's the highest of all level. You get holy heartburn when you just open your Bible and you look for Jesus in every passage. You look, see, because he's the answer to everything in your life. I was just reading, finishing up First Chronicles. I have to tell you right now, First Chronicles is not one of the most exciting books that I read, but it's God's Word. And he lists all of the singers. I mean, that was tremendous, particularly by one who doesn't know how to sing. And I thought to myself, Lord, you love singing. I just stopped and I meditated. How God loves music. And I want you to know, when we get to heaven, it won't be hillbilly, it won't be rock music. It'll be music is going to honor our Lord in every way whatsoever. And all God's people said, I hope, amen. I hope, amen. That's meditation. Meditation is focusing on Him, on God. And he's three persons. Sometimes I think about the Father. Being raised without a daddy, I say it reverently. I don't say it irreverently. Sometimes I just say, thanks, Dad. But I have to be careful that I do it reverently. Because I never had a dad. I think about how I had such lack of training in high school that I got a Holy Spirit who makes all things known to me, and I just went through tough times. And I have a Savior. He died. I know he died for you, but listen to me. He died for me. He died for me. I hope everyone can say, he died for me. And make that very real in your life. That's meditation. As we close here this evening, he not only says, be guarding your words, be grounded in his word through those levels that I gave you, but be godly in your ways. He says in verse 22, go back to our text. We're not going to spend much longer on it, but in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be a doer of what you hear. The word hear here, underline it. It's a note here. Let's look at verse 22. Be ye doers of words and not hearers. The word hear is an interesting word. It's how many have ever audited a course in college? You ever do that? I have. You get no credit for it. Matter of fact, when I went to college, I thought it would be a good idea because I just didn't know anything. I thought, Marilyn, you ought to audit with me. And I took the courses for credit. Marilyn audited it with me. And it really bothered me when she got better grades through an audit than I did studying hard. And she says, well, honey, I'll try to flunk it next time. I said, honey, that's not helping me one bit. Just not helping me at all. And Timothy came along, praise the Lord, she did not have any more courses with me. You see, to audit something is not to get any credit for it. It means auditing a course, not accountability for it. You don't read it and just say, well, I know what it says, but I'm just hearing it. It's when you do it. And when you don't do it, you're in trouble. It's the idea there. Not only does he say, be a doer of what you hear, but be not deceived in what you see. I talked about the mirror there in verse 23 and 24. I look in the mirror in the bathroom, don't care for what I see, but I do need to look at this mirror because it points out all my blemishes and all my flaws with the idea of helping me correct them. With the idea of correcting. Be a doer of what you hear. Be not deceived in what you see, and be devoted in what you know. Verse 25, but whosoever looketh the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When you're devoted to doing what you've learned, God will bless you. You know, a lot of times I hear people say to me, God's just not blessing me. How come he's blessing you and not me? How come he's blessing him and not me? Get that finger away from the person you're pointing out and go this way. Lord, what can I do? Because God will bless you if you're a doer and not simply a hearer. Very key. Be a doer of what you hear. Be not deceived in what you see. Be devoted to what you know. And be demonstrating who you are. Look over here as we look here in closing here. But whosoever looketh, let's see, what verse am I on here? Verse 26 and 27. If a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's an interesting thought here. In other words, religion, the word religion here means demonstrate what you are. Demonstrate it. Don't have a false religion, but have a faithful religion. Don't let your tongue, as he started out earlier in this passage, tell everyone else your religion is not good. It's false. But my religion is of this book, your religion of this book, and let that show forth our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. All God's people said, okay, brother.